flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
So, somebody on Twitch says that Isaiah Stewart had a gun shooting gesture that the broadcast didn't show.
Yeah, it looked like he had his finger set. I don't know if he was pulling the trigger there or not. I don't know.
When he was walking off the court and he was pointing back, is that what they're saying was a gun shooting gesture?
Well, some can interpret it that way for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they had a conversation with Isaiah Stewart about it.
I feel like, I interpreted that in the moment as you. I am coming for you.
Oh, you just looked like you had a gun there.
Yes. I guess his hand was like that, but I don't know. I guess. Whatevs. Won't be with him tonight. And I don't know. I don't know that $50,000? Is that what it said? $50,000 fine.
1,000 years ago, do people threaten each other with like a cat of nine tails or something like that?
What was the movie you just watched?
Gladiator 2.
Was there any of that?
A slingshot, like, you right know, here. Like pretend to have a slingshot and be like, whoa.
It's crossing the line, my man.
That's a fine.
What are we doing?
20 yeah. stones.
That's suspended from the Coliseum. Or slingshot gesture.
Yes.
You'll have to fight a monkey-like creature that looks like a dog, which was another part of the movie. You're like, what the hell is that?
If you're just joining us, Gator did a full review when he was out sick. He saw one movie. He chose very poorly on what he watched.
I don't think I chose poorly. I was excited to see it.
Okay, was it any good?
No.
You chose poorly. The hype beforehand doesn't mean it was a good choice, right? No. He saw Gladiator 2 and did not like it.
No.
At all.
Has anybody responded, King, on Twitter?
The ticket text?
Ticket text is saying that I'm wrong. It was a great movie. How dare you?
No. I think everyone's in support of your thumbs down on this one.
I guess it was Christmas, New Year's time in that era, the movie came out in the theater. My friend was going to go see the movie with his son. And he'd made me, you got any interest? I'm like, I want to see it, but not tonight, you know? I'm so glad I didn't go to the theater and watch that. You asked me earlier if I ever, do I walk away from movies or I stop? That would have been one in the theater that I would have thought about it.
So you're more likely to walk out of a theater where you paid than just stop watching it at home where you can instantaneously select another movie.
Here's why. It's a long movie. It's over 2 hours long.
Yep.
As we've gotten older, sometimes you have to go to the bathroom more often, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're at the movie theater, it sucks when you're like, you know, there's only 20 minutes left in the movie. You're like, oh, man, I got to go so bad. I don't want to miss any of it, right? If you're at home watching it, I can hit pause. I can do lots of things.
Okay.
But when you're on the road, so to speak, don't have that advantage. And if I'm disgusted with the movie, like I would have been,
yeah.
And at some point I can feel that I've got to, you know, relieve myself.
Just time to go.
I just leave.
All right. We promise this. Let's get to it. MLB Insider with some speculation about what's going on with Alex Bregman. This is Jim Bowden. Where do we credit this? Is this Jim Bowden? Is he?
MLB Network Radio.
There we go. Thank you very much. Jim Bowden talking about what's going on with the free agent third baseman from the Astros. Okay. Perhaps is a word he used in there that he, it sounds as though he believes the Tigers have the best offer. They're right there. He's been their priority. Whenever we bring up the name of Alex Bregman, I can look down and see feedback coming in saying, move on. Not us as a topic. Mm-hmm. We get that for virtually every topic we talk about. But if you know, you look at the people don't want to wait this out. They feel, people feel borderline offended that Alex Bregman hasn't taken the offer and say, screw it. Should we feel offended?
No, this thing is playing out a little bit longer than I think we expected it to, and particularly when the report has been out there for over a week now that there have been multiple teams that have offered him a 5 or 6 year deal. Mm-hmm. And you know that the money out there has been reported to be 6 years and 156 from Houston. So if that's the baseline, then you would think that, okay, if there's another offer out there, is it going to be more than that? It would have to be. Now, what it tells me is that the money that's being offered isn't a ton more than the 156. Is it like 160? And if you're Alex Bregman, do you want to uproot your family, move to a new city for $4 million over the course of 6 years? Or would you rather stick around? So, and I don't know what the Tigers' offer is. I tend to think that it's probably more than what Houston has offered up. Mm-hmm. And that Scott Boras is just trying to save face here. Scott Boras promises client, dude, I'll get you $200 million. Yep. Easy. And it's not easy.
I'm not sure he's not. I haven't looked at all of his clients. We did this last week, earlier in the week, and I just thought it was interesting that ESPN had all the best free agents that were still on the market. And like the entire infield and the DH were all Boras clients. Now, since then, one of them is signed. But I'm just kind of wondering, is there an anti-Scott Boras movement now going on in Major League Baseball?
Well, or is it just that the clients that are coming up for free agency at this point in time, it's just the perfect storm for him that it's not working for him, because you can look at Bregman's numbers and see that they've gone down each of the last couple of years, even though he's still a very good player and deserving of a long-term contract. He's not going to get what the $200 million number. He's not going to get anywhere near that. If the floor is 156 and the ceiling was 200 that you're not getting, mm-hmm. lower your expectations then. What is it going to be? And eventually it comes down to, will he simply sign with Houston for that money rather than leave for a couple million dollars more to go somewhere else? Or will he rethink things and bet on himself and say, I'll do the 1 year or 2 year, you know, do a 3 year contract with an opt out after the first year? One of those shorter term contracts that more teams were interested in doing. I don't think he's going to go that route because of where he's at in his career. This is the time to make the money. So if you've got that offer out there, take the money. Just where do you want to play? Do you want to play in Detroit? Do you want to play in Houston?
I love the shorter term contract, but if he does that, there's no way he's coming to Detroit. There's no way he'll come to Detroit where his
right,
power numbers.
Number's right, because he's trying to get another contract.
If you're trying to get another contract after this year, you don't go to one of the biggest parks. That's going to be punitive to you in terms of home run numbers. Now, he could find more gap power and maybe more extra base hits, but the reality is that's awesome. That's the kind of contract I want him to have, but just don't see it happening here.
Well, and the Tigers, remember when Scott Harris took over, one of the things he wanted the team to do from an offensive standpoint was to be more selective at the plate, mm-hmm. be a team that was able to draw a bunch of walks. And Bregman used to be that guy, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. Can he get back to being that guy, being on a team where that is the focal point of what you do offensively? His numbers will go up significantly if he does, but he's not going to hit 30 home runs at Comerica Park.
Do you, I mean, we keep talking about when pitchers and catchers report and how that's some sort of finish line for this.
Yeah, it's less than 2 weeks.
But is he the kind of guy, like, does he even need to make his decision then?
No. No, this could play out until a couple weeks into spring training. I think you want to get him, you're going to make that kind of investment. You want him right off, you know, to start the year because the Tigers haven't historically gotten off the great starts. It'd be nice to have that guy ready to go. Mm-hmm. I can't see this thing playing out too much longer, though. We already know there's only a couple of teams. How much more time do you need, you know, to look at the situation? How about, you know, if you're Scott Boras, at some point you're going to have teams calling you and saying, okay, look, here's my best and final offer. I don't need to keep doing this because we need to fill our roster out. We need to go find somebody else or pivot. Maybe the Tigers will say, fine, we're not going to get Alex Bregman. That's cool. We'll go with Vierling and Jace Young at third base, and we're going to sign, you know, Jack Flaherty to a one-year deal because that's where our money's going to go now because you're just being unreasonable.
There is some reporting that the Tigers have implied that they are done when it comes to adding to starting pitching, but I would love to see Flaherty. I'd love to see them go the other, you know, not be done and go after a guy like Flaherty. And
well, you can understand it because they have basically four starters already written in, and then you've got a handful of guys competing for the fifth start. So, and if you want to get back to doing a rotation as opposed to, you know, baseball pitching chaos like they did last year, which I think they'd like to get back towards a more semblance of a rotation, you could consider it. I mean, obviously, he'd be a better option than three of the five guys in rotation at least.
248-539-9797. Do you move on from Alex Bregman? Do you still want Alex Bregman? Scott Harris saying earlier this week, we're not done yet. And it might not, maybe he's referencing somebody other than Bregman, of course. Very well could be. And I'm sure he's got multiple plans. But that is one that's out there reported. And you heard Jim Bowden say that he's right there. He's Detroit's priority. But he is also speculating that maybe he just doesn't want to come here. 248-539-9797. Your phone calls and feedback coming up. Another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That at 12:35. Gator is back. It is 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh, Gator is back, 248-539-9797. Got some feedback coming in regarding Alex Bregman. You heard the soundbite there from Jim Bowden on MLB Network regarding the fact that Bregman may not want to come to Detroit. From an unnamed texter, Bregman is a really good player at a position of need. He is well worth the wait. So it's funny because I took some heat earlier in the week because I was saying I'm really, really not into the term on the contract that people talk about 5 or 6 years and north of $150 million. And I'm like, look at the arc of his career. I feel like it's only a question of how many bad years on this contract will there be? Will he make them better in 2025? And somebody sent in a text saying, look at the Tigers payroll. Why do you care? And, you know, they're not even close to average, so why are we worried about them overspending on a player? And I'm like, because I don't want another Javi Baez contract. Now, Baez's contract feels like it's historically bad, and they're, like, trapped. But in this particular case, I would find it frustrating if it were – how many years are going to be bad? Is it 2 years? Okay. If it's 3 years, eh. If it's 4 years.
What if it's one?
If it's 1 year that's bad, that would be fantastic. Then I would do it in a heartbeat. But I mean, Alex Bregman,
the problem
Alex,
is you don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And Alex Bregman looks like the kind of player to me that I would expect him to get a little bit worse and a little bit worse every year.
Well, his numbers fell off dramatically last year. I think it was because of the on-base percentage. Mm-hmm. So is that something that's correctable? I think that's a correctable thing. It's still, he wouldn't be putting up those power numbers that he put up in Houston, in Detroit, because the ballpark is different. You're playing here half the time. But would it be different for him? Can you make that up because you're playing more of your games in Cleveland and Minnesota and Chicago and Kansas City? Are those more hitter-friendly ballparks than what he was seeing when he was playing in the AL West?
Yeah, I would tend to think not really, but I mean, if you can sell him on it, if he does damage on the road, that's great.
I think.
I know you hate the topic of Comerica Park. I know.
Well, I do hate that, but I understand that it's there for people and whatever. But you can, the power numbers I get would suffer. But do you hit better? Do you get more hits because of it? They're just not going. If you're not hitting it over the fence, okay, make an adjustment. He's a pro. He knows what he's doing. It's also not foreign to him playing at Comerica Park in his career. He knows what he'd be getting himself into. But if he doesn't want to leave Houston, then, you know, stop bidding against yourselves. If you know that, and I would imagine the Tigers have some intel with AJ Hinch and Alex Bregman having worked together, that maybe they've got that intel. Alex, do you want to play in Detroit or not? And if he's like, I really do, but I got it, you know, look, Scott's handling all this stuff. And it's interesting, both are Scots that are handling this. You know, they're going to handle this. But yeah, I'd love to be in Detroit. It's not just, I'm not just saying it for the right thing. I'm letting you know I want to be here. I think they know whether or not he wants to be there. But if Scott Harris is like, you know, we do things very pragmatically here, and giving out a contract like that to a player whose numbers are on the decline just doesn't make sense for us. Our offer is this, you know, and it is what it is. If it's 6 years and $160 million, if that's the offer.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be that Bregman hasn't completely told the Tigers, you know, no. Because otherwise they wouldn't have been still connected to him this entire time. It would have been done a while ago. So clearly the Tigers are still an option for Bregman. You can debate on whether he's their first option or not. And I'll ask you this, Gator. You know, I asked Doug this the other day. No one wants to overpay for anybody, obviously. Nobody. But there is a cost of doing business with, you know, contracts. And Everyone knows when you sign a longer-term deal, at the end, usually it's regrettable.
Sure.
But with the Tigers, where the payroll is, there is no cap in baseball. How much are you willing to pay, overpay, or whatever you call it, a cost of doing business for Bregman? And, you know, because I think everyone believes that he's going to help this team this year and the next couple years, maybe. But and after that, we'll find out.
That's where you do other kinds of projections, right? If you think this team is going to be good, from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, this is a playoff baseball team. If you think that's the case, then you start crunching numbers. Okay, how many people were getting coming through the turnstiles? Are we getting close to 2.5 million fans coming to Comerica Park? And then you start projecting out how much money does that make? How many fans do we need to come to the ballpark to make this contract make sense?
Well, maybe I should just shut up about it, because I can't sit here out of one side of my mouth and say I'm underwhelmed by this offseason and then come back and say don't get Bregman, because Bregman will make him better short term. And, you know, there's very little doubt about that. And I would love to see the creative declining contract that pays him way more in year one and kind of paying for the production you expect every year. But those things, you know, you very rarely see those.
They so desperately need to have a third baseman.
So do they? I mean, have we given up on Chase Young? Can Matt Vierling not do the job?
I mean, Vierling's not an all-star.
No.
I like Matt Vierling. I think he's a nice player to have on your roster, but he's not an all-star type player. You know, he is what he is, and he's fine. And you're not paying him to be anything other than what he is. Chase Young, I think that there are some concerns, but maybe those concerns get alleviated with another season, right? It's an early sample size in Chase Young to throw him out. I don't think that's necessarily fair to him. But what you're getting with Alex Bregman is you know what he is defensively. He's a real solid third baseman defensively, and he's also a real solid hitter at the plate. Even though last year was a down year for him, his OPS was still 768, which would have been, I think, third best on the team last year. And it was down from 804 and 820 the year prior to that. But it's also, the year before he had 820, it was 777. So is he really on a downswing, or is it just like, okay, it's a little dip, but correctable? And again, I point to the on-base percentage. Prior to the 315 on-base percentage, he had gone 350, 355, 366, and 363, then down to 315. That's a big drop.
Yep.
The drop in OPS is directly correlated to the drop in his on-base percentage. Was it just a blip last year?
I would forget Bregman. This is an unnamed texter. I would forget Bregman. Give Jace Young another year. His wrist is healthy now. Go get Flaherty instead. Make Olsen at number three. Job, Cobb, and Mize. Scott Boras overpromised, and the market is telling him and his players they're not worth the money they want. It's simple as that. The Tigers need to spend. This division is up for grabs. There's nobody in the Central that should be feared. Why can't we become that team? Get Bregman and bring Flaherty back. Yes, move on from him. It's not like he's a 290, 300 hitter. Again, it's pretty poor that Bregman is the only thing out there that you guys keep fighting over whether or not you want. I say move on.
If you were an outfielder, we wouldn't be talking about it.
I say move on from this prima donna. I understand players want multiple years and the highest dollar amount, but when you're talking about $160 million to $180 million, come on, he doesn't want to come here, plain and simple.
I think he'd like to get $180 million and stay in Houston. That's what I think he'd like to do. And Houston is saying, we've done so much in the offseason here because we made you an offer and you rejected it. We moved on. Now we're bringing the offer back. It's still there, but again, we're not upping it.
Is there any kind of satisfaction over watching Boras struggle?
Yes. Absolutely there is. He's lived high in the hog. He's gotten a ton of money for his clients over the years. He's done very well. Now he's representing some clients that aren't at the peak years of their careers anymore. It's harder to get those kinds of numbers. I mean, look, Pete Alonso is still out there, right?
Boras' client.
The numbers Pete Alonso's put up in his career, pretty impressive. But once the downturn starts, people start to freak out a little bit. You know, trade is still an option for the Tigers.
If they wanted to make a big move, they've got the material to do that.
They definitely have the material to do it. And the other thing about trades is that, you know, you're looking at somebody who's active on somebody else's team. You're not waiting on a free agent who's sitting out. So that can go on through the season. It can go through all spring training if you want to do that, and then maybe you make a move in late March or whatever, or you'll hold on a little bit. But a trade can also add to this team, certainly, but you're giving up assets, but they're in a position now that they feel that maybe they can do that.
It's Carson Anderson, another edition of Are You Going to Eat That at 12:35. 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, the brothers behind Show Some Athletic Apparel grew up playing basketball on those concrete courts you see in movies. You had to be tough to play in those pickup games. And they used to ask each other, you're going to show some today. Well, let me ask you that. You're going to show some this year? You are. I know it. You're going to run, lift, exercise, and get after it. Do it in Show Some Athletic Apparel. Workout clothes built to last. It'll be the best workout gear you've ever owned. Use the discount code GRIT at checkout. Go to showsum.com. That's showsum.com. What do you make of the story of this Detroit conglomerate of big sports names trying to get a WNBA team?
I think it's good. Look, we'll see if this thing if it's got more legs now. Mm-hmm. If there's more juice to the league, obviously, with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and some other players that are coming into the league. It's exciting. I don't know if it's, can they catch lightning in a bottle and harness it and grow it? Or is this just going to be kind of a flash in the pan type thing. But as far as getting a Detroit WNBA franchise, why not?
Investors include Grant Hill, Chris Webber, Jared Goff, and their families. And, you know, it's, I think that's kind of cool. And
Tom Gores.
You know, we went, yeah, I think Gores is at the head of it. But we, you know, we did the whole flirtation with the MLS. And that is something that I'm pretty sure I would have gone to. Like, I would have gone to see a Detroit MLS team. But when the stadium deal got moved to Ford Field, I'm like, it's doomed. Like, you can't.
Right.
One of the great things about secondary sports and one of the great things about the USPBL is the right size stadium. And I don't know how you do it with, like, I think the Michigan Panthers would be better served playing at Wayne State than in Ford Field. You know, do some upgrades at that stadium and have a packed, smaller venue as opposed to a cavernous, empty venue. But, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, this morning I wake up, flip on SportsCenter, the live edition that starts at 7 a.m., and their lead was all college women's basketball. And I realize it's not for everybody, but ESPN, as we know, and all broadcast outlets respond to what gets ratings. And so the interest must be there, and it would be cool.
Yeah.
Just another thing.
Well, is ESPN also pushing it to try to?
I wonder about that a little bit too, but
before the WNBA, you know, season gets underway.
I don't suppose that everybody that goes to ESPN that, like, they on their resumes, the bullet point number one is I'm a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees, and the Boston Red Sox. But those are the teams that get the most discussion, and whether they've earned it with good play or not, and it's we know what this is about. If anybody knows what it's about, it's us. It's about responding to what topics get them the biggest ratings. And so are they pushing it? It might be. But I think you'd only go so far with that. But still, I mean, this is one of those deals where I always kind of scoff. If you don't like it, you don't have to watch. You don't have to go. And for those that do, it'd be just cool to see something else in Detroit. All right, Gator, are you ready for another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That?
Yes.
It's new menu items that we find. Find out if Gator has interest. On your mark, get set, go. All right, Gator. I'm going to start with something that went viral on social media. I've actually talked about this on the air. Somebody made a post about flavored milks from around the world, and specifically in Australia.
You love milk.
Well, and I remember being there. They had Big M milk, which was all kinds of different flavored milk. And I remember they had, like, caramel and strawberry and vanilla, and they would sit there in the coolers just like, you know, Pepsi and Coke would. And, you know, there was coffee, there was banana, there was coconut. I mean, it was crazy. But here are a few of the flavors that really caught people's attention. I would want to know, would you eat that? A waffle cone flavored milk. Gator, do you think you'd like a waffle cone flavored milk?
Yeah, I would try that. I mean, you know, I enjoy milk.
Kang, waffle cone flavored milk.
I don't like milk. I don't. I'm trying to see if you flavored it. I mean, it's got to be a lot of waffle cone for me to, like, be in on this.
He's basically saying he wants a milkshake, Pete.
Yes, exactly. That's the only way I drink milk, as milkshake form.
I would absolutely have this.
Oh, well, you're the milk guy.
Yeah.
I think it sounds great. Him some milk.
All right, next up, mint chocolate chip flavored milk.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a quick yes.
Dude, is this all going to be milk?
No, these are the only two I'm doing.
He's getting pissed.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I'm not going to play along.
Yeah, right. I'm out on this one.
No.
I don't like the mint flavored stuff. So
I'll do one more. Shrimp flavored milk.
Well, now I'm in.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I made that one up.
Good.
Totally made that one up. All right, next up on Are You Going to Eat That? Not much of a description of what this is going to be, but maybe it's self-explanatory in the name. Coca-Cola is releasing a orange cream flavor next month. Be sold in regular and zero sugar varieties. Orange cream, first introduced with the Creamsicle ice cream bar in 1937, has enjoyed a recent renaissance. Coke said the Coca-Cola orange cream won't be a permanent flavor, but it would remain on sale till at least through the first quarter of 2026. That's quite a commitment.
Didn't they do this already?
I thought the same thing, Gator.
So,
but I think this is the cream you're talking about, right?
They've had raspberry flavored Coca-Cola spiced.
I think they just had orange before. Now it's orange cream.
And that Coca-Cola spice was supposed to be permanent, but they pulled it off the market in September, saying it would be replaced by a new flavor.
It was orange vanilla. I think it was the flavor.
Okay. Yeah.
So here's how I'm going to respond to that. Because I think it's going to be very similar to that.
Yeah.
And it's a hard no. The reason I know that they had this is because I remember I bought a 12-pack of the Coca-Cola Orange Vanilla. And I had it in my garage. And I opened it up, grabbed a can, took it inside, drank it. And a year and a half later, I still had that 12-pack sitting out in my garage.
It was that bad.
Terrible. You didn't like it? Oh, no. Terrible.
Wow. Terrible. It was terrible. Now, maybe the orange cream one's different. All right. You throw the word cream in there, and I start thinking like rock and rye, which is a delicious flavor. But I just, I'm not going to do it.
All right. Well, two things. One, yes, I'll try it. Okay. And two is, why'd you buy 12, Gator? Why didn't you just buy one?
Because I got excited. I thought this was going to be something I was going to love.
Is this kale all over again?
No, I remember the giant bag of gold potatoes he bought?
Remember the giant crab dip he made?
When my man makes a commitment, makes a commitment.
He overcommits.
Go big.
He doesn't get the six pack.
Mm-mm.
He gets the 30 pack.
Yep.
Look, it's called Big M Milk before, right?
Yeah. So Kang, you're a yes?
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm a no. I don't.
You don't like pop.
I don't love it.
It's true.
But I will drink a Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. But this orange cream.
Did they say anything about zero sugar?
Yeah, they probably have a zero version.
There is a zero. It says regular and zero sugar varieties. Does that mean you might try it?
I mean, if you showed up with a can of it, would I try it? Yes. Would I go out and buy one myself? No.
Okay. Not unless it was a 12-pack.
All right. We like mashups.
Yes.
We like mashups. Next up, Wendy's and Girl Scouts are collaborating on a Thin Mints Frosty. The cookie-inspired treat was announced on Monday.
Yes.
Will be available starting on Friday, February 21st. To transform the chocolate and mint flavored patties into frozen treat, the fast food chain
LFG.
Is blending a minty chocolate swirl described as having crumbly cookie butter-esque texture
per
press release with either the vanilla or chocolate frosty so fans can choose which classic flavor gets the twist of Thin Mints flavor. Gator will start with the vanilla Thin Mints.
Yes. Yes.
So you're saying yes.
Isn't this what everyone says to put the Thin Mints in the refrigerator or the freezer? This is basically it. And then you get to
throw it in a delicious frosty. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Vanilla flavored Thin Mints frosty. Are you in, Kang?
I'm not a mint guy. I'm out, man.
Wow.
I don't like mint.
Okay. No, I hear it.
You know, for all desserts, what my threshold is.
Yeah.
But Does it sound better or worse than what I can get at Dairy Queen?
I'm going to make a prediction here, Kang.
I think I know what your prediction is.
Better or worse than a blizzard?
Doug loves the Thin Mint. And I don't think he's got anything against the Frosty. So when you're going to combine the two, that's going to put it on par with the blizzard. Doug's going to be all in on this.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm all in on
Doug,
this.
Oh, Doug, this is one where he would lick off Kenny's beard. I think so.
If you're out, is Kenny in?
Kenny, would you try this?
Hell yeah. I put my Thin Mints right in the freezer every time. This is the perfect combination.
There it is. All right.
Yeah.
Would you let Doug lick this off your beard?
If he really wanted to, I would allow it.
Wow. Listen, that's how we got sick, remember? We're not supposed to talk about that.
Finally, you can now get Eggo and Rice Krispie treats in ice cream form, Gator.
All right. So I saw this the other day last Friday. When I was at the grocery store prior to getting sick, and I'm like, what is that? Is it? I didn't really understand it because it just was like on a display thing. And it just didn't make sense to me. Would I try it? Yes. I'm disappointed that I didn't grab some when I was there.
Yeah. I mean, the flavors that are described, these are the flavors of these are like ice cream sandwiches. The buttery maple ice cream.
Yep.
Chocolatey chip ice cream, blueberry ice cream,
yep.
Buttery maple ice cream sandwich, This is that you're yes on all of these.
Yeah.
I don't think I would try the blueberry.
Don't you like blueberries?
I don't like blueberry flavored stuff. I like blueberries.
What if it's real blueberries?
I probably would pass. Buttery maple ice cream sandwich sounds too good for even me to pass.
Wow, good for you.
Are you a fan of Eggos? Waffles?
Not particularly.
Okay.
But I mean, I can't remember the last time I had one. They are in our fridge. They are in our fridge because they make for a quick and easy breakfast for the kids, which we are about to have none of them in the house. Kang, are you in on this?
Oh, I'm in on all of them. Yeah. They sound great.
Sounds so good.
Yeah. Right.
I could crush some Eggos, man. I mean, Eggos are, that's a problem right there.
Still to this day?
Yeah, you won't let go of those Eggos.
No, man. You start with four and then you're like, what do I got?
All right. Eggos, do you like Eggos more than you like the Thin Mints?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's a strong statement.
You
want
to, okay, here's a true story right now. I have shown amazing restraint over the last 6 weeks since I got my Girl Scout cookie order.
You've already got your order?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've had two boxes of Thin Mints in my refrigerator now for 6 weeks, and I haven't touched them. Not yet. I don't know why. I just haven't done it yet.
I'm amazed.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I don't know. I don't know how I've been able to resist, but I have.
I'm stunned. In fact, I think you're lying.
I'm not. Why would I lie about that?
I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to prove over here. But hey, good for you, man. Good for you. Well,
doesn't mean I don't like
cousin
them.
Cousin Lila. Where are our Girl Scout cookies? All right, that concludes another edition of Are You Going to Eat That? I do have a follow-up on something.
Got them from Grace.
Oh, they're supporting Lila, but they better show up soon.
You can only support one person when it comes to Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, right. We got a follow-up on a previous Are You Going to Eat That topic that we now have official news on. We will get to that today at 12:50. And hey, Detroit, headline, ready or not, it might be this guy's time in Detroit. That at 101 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. We made it to the weekend, and the best way to kick it off is at your favorite Twin Peaks. Gather up the squad and head to your local lodge to start the party off right. They got action-packed sports weekend for you in store. Detroit basketball action tonight and again on Sunday. Detroit taking on Calgary Saturday for hockey, and of course, pro football's best play on Sunday. Saturday night also boasts pay-per-view boxing. Two titles on the line. You got David Benavides taking on David Morrell Jr. in a battle of undefeateds, and world champion Brandon Figueroa. He is looking to retain his title against Stephen Fulton Jr. Rematch one of the best fights of 2021. Twin Peaks always ups the game, too. The awesome promotion they got running at their Livonia location during Sunday's Pro Football All-Star Game. And again, on the day of the big game, you can enter for your chance to win a 98-inch TV. Talk about an immediate upgrade to your man cave. Ask your Twin Peaks girl for details, but between you and me, that's the biggest TV you've ever seen. Could not think of a better way to enjoy your pro sports teams for football, baseball, hockey, and basketball. There's always something going on at Twin Peaks. See for yourself this weekend. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's been a busy show. The best part about it, Gator is back. Good to have you back, buddy.
Good to be back.
We have discussed the hire of David Shaw as passing game coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Tom Pelissero said a big hire for Dan Campbell's remodeled staff. So apparently Tanner Engstrand is done, although that's not been confirmed or reported in any, but you have to wonder when they hired somebody with his job title. Some Pistons talk with Cade being on the All-Star team, which is awesome. We got a Red Wing win last night, a shootout in Edmonton. It's Bregman watch day, I don't know, 33, whatever it is.
Feels like forever.
Alex Bregman, no decision yet. All things we have discussed here on the Carson Anderson program. And, like I said before the break, ready or not, it might be this guy's time in Detroit. We'll get to that today at 102. But Gator, I got a follow-up. We just did another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? Headline, Taco Bell quietly discontinues the new crispy chicken nuggets. Now, what's funny is this story, which I got, who was the first reporting it? Anyway.
Did you say who was first reporting it?
Yeah.
It's me and Kenny Cott. We were first on the scene, man.
Well, you guys.
You guys are ahead.
We're investigative reporters for things like this.
So when, I mean, those commercials flooded televisions for like 2 weeks. And then suddenly the commercials were gone, and you and Kenny, were you trying to order with the app? Is that what it was?
Yeah, we started just like looking into it like, hey, have you seen the commercials aren't around as much. I haven't seen advertisement. Let's go on the app and start checking. We can purchase these. And, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, True Detective Season 3 back here.
Okay, so.
Or 4.
Or 4, yes, you're right.
The story I'm looking at here.
I want to forget, too.
I just want to go back to Alaska.
The story I'm looking at here has Reddit posts. I'm upset. They were so good. I'm wondering, were they good? Was this
Did you
a limited...
post that, Doug? Because you're like one of the people that likes stuff that goes away.
Well, I do like stuff that goes away.
It's
but
true.
It,
every time you like something, it's gone.
It's gone. And like, that's more of a obviously no commentary on my tastes. But were they good?
Me and Kenny never found out.
Do you feel like you missed out?
A little bit. We like to try it and find out for ourselves. We're that type of people that, you know, pretty much no matter the feedback, if we wanted to try something, we were going to go try it and decide for ourselves. But we never got the opportunity because these things quietly went away in the night. Which makes me think they weren't that good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you?
I don't know, though.
Do you feel like you missed out? You are all things Taco Bell.
I mean, I do feel like I missed out.
But here's the question.
It was breaded with the tortilla chips.
Given your love for the Taco Bell menu,
yeah,
you would have had to pass on something that you know you love to select the chicken nuggets. Or you could double down, I guess.
What do you think? You only go to Taco Bell and get one item?
Well, how many, hold on. How many Mexican pizzas do you get when you go there?
One.
Just one?
Yeah.
So you only get one item?
No.
Okay, what else do you get?
Well, you get a burrito supreme. Maybe you get a bean burrito as well. You don't have to eat it all. The burritos can keep for a day or two.
Do you really buy burritos, take them home, and keep them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Doug, are you really surprised, man?
I guess I shouldn't be.
I mean, it depends on filled up. Point is, I don't want to totally gorge myself to the point where I feel like I vomit at any moment or, you know, don't want to savor it for the next day. There's nothing wrong with it.
But if you go to Taco Bell and you want a Mexican pizza and a burrito supreme and... You know, a bean burrito.
Mm-hmm.
Would you then just add the nuggets on, or would you have to pass on one of those things that you know you like?
I'd probably add the nuggets on.
Okay.
And then save the bean burrito for the next day.
My man's smart, Doug.
Do you think that the refrigerated bean burrito a day later is going to hit like the one that's
actually, I kind of like it better.
Do you really?
Yeah. Because you reheat it in the microwave, but you don't have to do it too much. It stays together better, actually. I like it just fine the next day.
248
now
5399797.
The burrito supreme maybe not as much. You get the lettuce, you get the vegetables that are in there.
Sour cream,
yeah. But it's okay. It's not the worst thing, man. I eat it with a smile.
Gator, you're talking to a guy who wouldn't eat it fresh. You know what I mean? Like
what? Well, first of all, I tried the Doritos Locos Tacos on the air and gave him a thumbs up.
Yeah, but you would get like two tacos and be done.
Yes.
Yeah, Doug, nothing else for Doug from Taco Bell. Ken, what's your order when you go?
Oof. I mean, are we doing this right now, man?
Yeah.
We got
an hour before we got to go.
I mean, I'm getting a Mexican pizza meal.
Yeah?
The combo.
So it comes with what? A Locos taco maybe? And
yeah, some kind of like, you know, taco or small burrito.
And something else.
Maybe some cinnamon twist, a drink.
Like, there's
maybe
like
the nachos. I don't know. Maybe something cool I don't even know about yet.
Here it is. Kenny, you're going to get Taco Bell. What's the Taco Bell order for Kenny Cott?
I get the cheesy gordita crunch, get the Dorito shell in there. Pro move. Absolute pro move. Chicken quesadilla, nacho fries, and a Baja Blast freeze.
Nobody gets the one thing.
Yeah, I like the quesadilla, too.
Well, my point is, I thought you were going to have to pass on one of the three things you would get to get the nuggets, but you would just add a fourth thing.
That's
you would
right.
add a fourth thing.
Just add more.
So there's one thing that I get at Taco Bell, believe it or not, that none of you mentioned.
No, wait. Oh, God. Stop.
All right, what's the worst thing on the menu? What is the worst thing?
Is it a
thing?
New thing? Something is new, this, or is this something like you've always got?
It's like something I've always got.
Okay, so it's not from the new cantina.
Yeah, I was going to say like some cantina health bowl.
It's got to be some kind of chicken burrito.
Do they have tofurkey there yet?
No.
I don't eat tofurkey.
You say that.
Because it's true.
Nobody believes you, Doug. Nobody.
Something that you, it's always been on the menu, but you're the only one that gets it?
I don't know if I'm the only one. If it's always been on the menu, it means other people are getting it.
I'm going to say it's got to be some kind of chicken burrito.
Yeah, it's that, we know it's chicken. Or maybe it's bean, you know? He just replaces the protein
bean
with black
bean.
Yeah.
But there's no bean burrito, that's the refried beans. That's not black beans.
Oh, yeah. Do they have a veggie bowl?
I don't think they do.
Kenny's saying they do. Kenny's saying they do.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going there for a veggie bowl.
I don't think so either.
Like, Doug's going to Taco Bell because the kids want something to Taco Bell, and he's like, all right, fine, I'll get...
What does he get?
I'll throw in the chicken burrito.
I will have a chicken burrito, but this is not what I'm thinking of.
Oh. I don't know.
I just looked it up. It's been around since 1993.
Oh, this is old school.
Okay, yep. All right. Let me go back in time. Let me just think about this.
You know what this tells me?
I'm leaving the bar.
Is this?
I'm in the car. We're driving through Taco Bell. It's 1993.
Hey, Doug, what do you want?
We got $10 on us for two guys, and we're going to eat like kings because it's 1993.
Right?
Well, we're getting Mex-a-Melts and bean burritos and some tacos, but that's not what Doug's getting. What was it in 1993 that came out that Doug's like, yeah, that's my go-to staple? I mean, what would it be?
I don't know. What the hell is Doug eating?
What the hell are you eating?
What are you eating, Doug?
You ready?
I'm ready.
The seven-layer burrito.
There's still meat in that?
There's no meat in that. No,
there isn't?
No, there's all veggies and guacamole and... Yeah, I get that. See, this
there was a reason I didn't like that burrito. We're kidding. I'm like, is this not, you know what it was for me? I didn't like the rice in the burrito. But really what it is the fact that there's rice in there and there's no meat.
None.
Who does that? What a bait and switch. Call that burrito? No protein?
The meatless burrito is filled with tomatoes, refried beans, seasoned rice, three cheese blend, low-fat sour cream, guacamole, salsa, and lettuce. Introduced in 1993. Well, it's called a seven-layer, but... There you go.
Seven layers, not one meat.
Kevin?
I mean, for a dip, I get it, but.
Let's go to Kevin in Monroe. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How we doing today?
What's up? Getting hungry.
So I just wanted to chime in a little bit about the Taco Bell menu. I noticed something on the rewards app. I'm a fellow Taco Bell.
Hey, can you take us off speaker or headset or whatever? Because it's your setup.
I got you. Headphones. Yeah. Hold on a second here, guys. Sorry.
That's so all right. Cool. We appreciate it.
We do.
Because I'm dying.
Just a reminder, everybody, to take us off headset.
Apologies. Can you guys hear me any better at all?
That's better.
Okay. So the chicken nuggets were very good. However, we all know what Taco Bell is known for, and it's not for producing a very fun-feeling stomach after you eat it. So those chicken nuggets were definitely in that same category of would destroy your stomach if you ate them.
Oh.
But they were good.
Okay. Thumbs up. Lenny and Holly are 97 on the ticket. Hi, Lenny.
Hey, guys. Just want to chime in on those chicken nuggets. Let me tell you, I used to work for a big chicken franchise, and we never had something like that. But crossing the Mackinac Bridge like three times a year, I always get a treat when I go across. And this time it was the chicken nuggets from the Taco Bell on the other side. Two things about them. They did them right. They were really, really good. Second thing is they had a honey mustard jalapeno dipping sauce that went with them. It was to die for.
I think Doug just got around.
Actually, that does sound pretty good.
But it was unbelievable.
Tom and Warren, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, guys? Right. Yeah, those chicken nuggets were great, man. Loved them. I was so disappointed when they went away. But I heard you guys talking about other menu items. The things they brought back from the nostalgic menu, the tostada, love the tostada.
Yep.
And just the bean and cheese burrito, it's got to be the best.
Solid, man.
Solid. Big thumbs up for the Taco Bell chicken nuggets, which quietly went away. All right, straight ahead, ready or not, it might be this guy's time in Detroit. Beat writer wrote about it. We will get to that. Is he ready? That at 103 here on 97.1 The Ticket.